powered by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.
Think you know what way it's going to go? Make your bet with Sports Interaction. Whether it's hockey, football, or basketball, Sports Interaction has you covered. Bet pregame, live and play, or on one of our many prop bets. Sports Interaction makes it easy to deposit, play, and cash out. Join now and see all that sports betting has to offer. Want to bet? Head to sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. That's sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. 19 plus, please play responsibly. Leaf fans, if you are at that building, I'm so glad you got to stick through it. If you stuck through it, if you stuck through the first period where it was the Mr. Hyde right out of the gate, you know, they decided not to play the first 20 minutes. But then the second period, they get, what, three goals in four and a half minutes to start the second and end up with a big 2 points over the New York Islanders.
Big 2 points.
Big 2 points. The first of the two New York teams come into town this week. So we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to maybe talk about some things coming up at the end of this week on Friday. We're going to talk all about the Leafs beating the New York Islanders.
Let's go.
Favorite baby. American team that is in blue, orange, and white. 5-2. In the battle of Samsonov versus Sorokin.
The battle of the Ilias. Yes, of course.
Yes, the battle of the Ilias. We have to name this that. We should name
it. The Iliad.
The Iliad, yes. The Iliad on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday night. If you are here, if you are with us, welcome to Game Over Toronto. I am Lauren. This is my very good friend, Fuad. I am rocking my brand new Boreas Salming shirt. Big shout out to Flow Buds.
And I'm rocking a Van Gogh painting sweater.
I love it.
You know, sometimes you just gotta switch it up. It's a Monday. It's never. It hasn't been sunny in like
it is Monday,
eight
not
weeks.
Tuesday. Oh my gosh.
It hasn't been sunny in like 8 weeks. So I gotta break.
Game over. Powered by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.
Think you know what way it's gonna go? Make your bet with Sports Interaction. Whether it's hockey, football, or basketball, Sports Interaction has you covered. Bet pregame, live and play, or on one of our many prop bets. Sports Interaction makes it easy to deposit, play, and cash out. Join now and see all that sports betting has to offer. Want to bet? Head to sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. That's sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. 19 plus, please play responsibly. Leaf fans, if you are at that building, I'm so glad you got to stick through it. If you stuck through it, if you stuck through the first period where it was the Mr. Hyde right out of the gate, you know, they decided not to play the first 20 minutes. But then the second period, they get, what, three goals in four and a half minutes to start the second and end up with a big 2 points over the New York Islanders.
Big 2 points.
Big 2 points. The first of the two New York teams come into town this week. So we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to maybe talk about some things coming up at the end of this week on Friday. We're going to talk all about the Leafs beating the New York Islanders.
Let's go.
Everyone's favorite baby. American team that is in blue, orange, and white. 5-2. In the battle of Samsonov versus Sorokin.
The battle of the Ilias. Yes, of course.
Yes, the battle of the Ilias. We have to name this that. We should name
it. The Iliad.
The Iliad, yes. The Iliad on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday night. If you are here, if you are with us, welcome to Game Over Toronto. I am Lauren. This is my very good friend, Fuad. I am rocking my brand new Boreas Salming shirt. Big shout out to Flow Buds.
And I'm rocking a Van Gogh painting sweater.
I love it.
You know, sometimes you just gotta switch it up. It's a Monday. It hasn't been sunny in like
it is Monday,
eight
not
weeks.
Tuesday. Oh my gosh,
it hasn't been sunny in like 8 weeks. So I gotta bring out the drip. You know, I gotta bring out the drip.
You gotta bring the spring to
I
you,
feel
Fred.
Like every stream I should be like one of I should be one like one of the players like Austin Matthews when he comes in. I should wear a big fedora hat. Just walk in like. I would not fit with the headphones, though, so I learned that the hard way. But, yeah, about the first period. So what I had said about the first period was if you were sitting down with a friend and, you know, they're like, let's watch hockey. They had never seen the game of hockey before. And you're like, hey, let's watch it together. I don't think you would have converted that person into a fan. I think they would have said, hey, I think darts is on. Let's watch darts. But
World darts. Yeah,
it was a tale of two periods, and then I guess the second and third kind of melted together because they played really well in both of those. But I forget who tweeted it, but I think Tic-Tac-Tomer was like, what did Sheldon Keefe say in the locker room? Like, I imagine him, like, you know, an old school Will Ferrell's like, we got to came off the bat. And he smashes the chair against the locker. That's what I feel like he said in the locker room.
You know what he said? He walked in and went, Mitch, you're playing with Austin. Willie, playing with Johnny. And oh man. Did they make some magic?
Switched it up on the fly. I think maybe he just looked and you know how Keith on the bench, like, it's rare that he really yells. He usually has the angry smile, which is even scarier. He's always just like, you referees.
He yells a lot. You don't think he yells a lot? I think he yells a lot.
He does, but he always looks like he's smiling. So it's almost like he's laughing at the amount of anger that he has inside of him. It's an interesting gambit of emotions watching Sheldon Keefe on the bench, but
I think it's just disbelief most of the time that calls aren't getting made. But the Leafs got way more calls than the Islanders did tonight, which I guess is a good thing because they played it on the broadcast. The Islanders power play. Did you see this?
I saw it in the beginning. Yeah, I was going to take a picture of it because I wanted to, like, I was watching the TV.
I have it written in my endless pile of notes. You can see how big the writing got.
You can tell who's the
Islanders, since December 1st, have the worst power play in the league.
Oh, I believe you.
They are dead last with a dreary, and this must have gone down after tonight's game, 9.1.
9%. The interest rate.
1 in 11.
Swaggin. The interest rate on a brand new car, that is their power play. Unbelievable. Wow.
That's horrifying. Horrifying.
They don't have bad players. They got some decent forwards on their team. I mean, they got Barzal.
Yeah.
Anders Lee. Like, I mean, they play like early, like mid-90s dead puck era hockey. I thought it almost worked against the Leafs. Like, the Leafs just weren't there. I was like, oh my God, well, they are being suffocated.
Let's talk about that, because in the first, it seemed like the Leafs, you know, 10 minutes in had one shot on goal. And it was it's the Islanders that we were used to seeing really playing well defensively, but they were making good on all of the opportunities that the Leafs were coughing up, right? Yeah. They were, every single time the Leafs made a bad pass, the Islanders were there. And the Leafs, conversely, couldn't do that. They weren't getting in the shooting lanes. They weren't getting in the passing lanes. In the first period, it was like, oh my gosh, because there are some fans that traveled very far. I don't know if you follow this on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, Curtis from Alberta is at the game.
Yes, I was going to shout out to Curtis from Alberta.
And Holly from the UK, the other side of the Atlantic pond, was also there. So by the end of the first, I was like, these poor fans have traveled like a combined 10,000 kilometers almost to come see them. And this is how they're playing in the first. And I mean, like you said, what did Keith say when they walked in the room? I mean, it was clearly not Himes, Mitch, and Austin. You're getting, what did he say? You're dominated. You're getting dominated.
Ah, yes. Well, now that you mentioned Curtis, maybe Sheldon Keefe brought Curtis down to the locker room because he's a must follow for any Leaf fan. I'll tell you that he is the most positive Leaf fan I've ever seen in my life. He's always just a beacon of joy all the time.
We're actually,
if they win the cup,
he's actually going to be, he's going to be on Game Over Toronto next month. So
absolutely, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm actually supposed to meet him this week. We're supposed to go for dinner because we've talked over Twitter and everything, and it's going to be a good time. And I'm glad that this game went the way that it did. I'm glad that they won, and I'm glad, gosh, you know, I'm so glad every time the Leafs beat the Islanders, because next to the Bruins, the Islanders are the American team I dislike the most. And it is specifically because of all the John Tavares crap, because I just like, and Islanders fans, if you're in the chat, I'm sorry. And feel free to not like me, and that's okay. But
yeah, because John Tavares notably is the first athlete to ever leave
ever
free agency
to go home. Broke the mold
of ethics.
The glass ceiling was there and he just shattered it.
What a brave move.
I mean, like a carbon fiber stick.
Do you remember the videos? Like, I remember they had this like this compilation video of all the fans.
Dear John,
Jeff Tavares, you are a hero, and now you are traitor.
I'm glad my son is so small that he doesn't know what you've done to him.
Like, oh, he what is going on?
And so every time the Leafs play the Islanders, that's all I think about. And I hope, and they've played very well against the Islanders recently. And every time we beat them, I'm just like, maybe you do need him though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it was just a tough look for us the season after that he left. They went to the conference finals. So that was a hard pill to swallow. Like, I looked at it.
But they haven't really been back since, right? Like, they've been back.
Two appearances, And then now they're kind of floundering.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we can't score two goals and win every game.
Oh, man. I mean, that's – the offense is just –
it's like a raisin just dried right up, like a sad, dried little raisin in a granola bar. Not even like box of raisins, like granola bar raisin, dry. Just sad offense.
That's a tough one.
Sad offense.
So do you know who does? I mean, the offense woke up with the Leafs because one Willie Nylander, Big Willie Styles.
Big Willie.
4-point night, right? I mean, he absolutely was.
399. 399 career points.
Hey, that's a lot. So, yeah, I mean, he's taken his game to a whole other level. I've never thought I'd see this kind of dominance from William Nylander. So, like, the first goal, just, I mean, he collects a perfect pass and puts it home. But the second goal, I had to watch it back a few times because I was mesmerized. Like, it just completely handcuffed Ilya Sorokin. And Ilya Sorokin is not bad, is an all-star goalie. Like,
he's going to the all-star game.
Goal. Right. So, and the Leafs made him look not like that tonight.
No. But Willie specifically, I mean, it seems like, and I actually tweeted this out, it seems like all you really need to get a goal past Ilya Sorokin is you need a breakaway from a fantastic saucer pass. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And if you're already in the zone, you're going to score. Clearly, it's not just a one-on-one versus the goalie because Michael Bunting didn't score, right? So statistically, that would be wrong. But the breakaways from a just ridiculous overhead pass is just... oh.
The stretch passes. I can recall a time where Leaf fans were, every game, were yelling, stop with the stretch passes, because it was always getting the Leafs burned. They were always getting turnovers, and the stretch pass would just end up cycling back in, and we'd be giving up an opposing team goal. But two stretch passes. I think Ilya Samsonov and Justin Hall were watching yesterday. They probably watched the Cincinnati Bengals absolutely destroy the Buffalo Bills.
Just Hail Mary passes.
They channeled their inner Joe Burrow. Thanks, Joe Burrow, for ruining my team. And that really hurt me. But the Ilya Samsonov pass was amazing. It was just like, is that his first assist? Probably not.
Yeah,
but
I think so. The last time, the Leafs actually got an assist last year from Jack Campbell. I actually looked it up because I thought that it was way longer before that, but it wasn't. It was actually only last year. But I mean, again, Ilya Samsonov just showing again why he's fighting for the number one spot. And he's now, 13-0-1 at home? Like, just a mad dog at home. You have to play him against the Rangers on Wednesday, right? Like, you have to.
Yeah. They were saying it on the broadcast. They were saying, they're like, you know, that's what they're, you know, it's obviously the topic du jour where they're like, is there a goaltending controversy? And I wouldn't say I think controversy is a strong word, but, you know, there definitely is a goalie competition.
It's a tandem. That's the point.
Tandem. It's the NHL equivalent of first world problems. Okay, it's a good problem to have because, you know, eventually, and I don't want to say this, but eventually, Ilya Samsonov is going to get shelled. Okay, he might give up 6 goals in the game. I don't want it to happen, but it's probably going to happen going by history. So, you know, you definitely have, if he falters for a 3-game stretch, then you just go back to Matt Murray and you kind of just ride the wave. So I actually kind of like what they're doing. It doesn't look like they have a preference for either one. Like, I kind of thought maybe they like Matt Murray a bit more because he's paid more. He's under contract for next year. You know, he has more of a pedigree. But it looks like they're letting it organically play out, which I think is the right move, right?
I think you're totally right. And I think that if you try and force it one way or another, it just ends up shooting you in the foot and it ends up not working. And you end up with a goalie situation that is unmanageable because you're mishandling assets, right? I mean, Mike Babcock would have done that. Right? If we think about the goalie tandems that we had last year and this year, and think about how differently the seasons could have gone if Mike Babcock was literally, if he was managing nothing else but the goalies and he was starting that night. Like, do you think that they have the same win rate last year? Probably not. And definitely not this year. You know, like you said, Keefe is letting this grow organically, which I think right now, as you move into the further into the second half of the season, I think that if you do it another way, then, you know, you're sort of setting yourself up for whatever results happen without giving yourself the best opportunity to win or give yourself the best chance to win, right? And I think that, especially knowing that Sammy is 13-0-1 at home, how do you...
That's just
ridiculous. And how do you not give him the opportunity to continue that? Because he's clearly earned it, even though the second goal tonight by Anders Lee wasn't fantastic, but... You know, the Leafs win anyway, right? They outscore their problems, and as long as they can keep doing that, we're going to be great because that's what we were dealing with last year. But I think this year's goaltending has been way more consistent than last year's, don't you think?
It's night and day, right? So, and the good thing about having a tandem is you have a safety net, right? So, you know, Jack Campbell for the beginning of last season was Vezina Jack Campbell. He was, we were like, wow. And everybody was, you know, that's when the soup started and everybody was, you know, everybody was going crazy. We're like,
everybody was eating the soup. Everybody was eating the soup.
Finally found one. And then November happened. And then it wasn't so good.
Yeah.
Right. So it was not so good. But the problem with last season was it was Jack Campbell or bust. Okay. It was Jack Campbell or Eric Shellgren or... Oh, Peter Mrazek. I forgot about that, which was just...
But he was a non-option last year. And
non-option. Right?
And, at this point, you bring up the goalie situation. At this point, if both of them go on a stint where they're not playing well, at that point, do you maybe give Justin Wohl a call and go, hey, so you're 13-0. You want to come up and see what happens? Because, I mean, he's played in an NHL game before, but he's... came back from the beginning of the season being off after surgery. We all thought this was going to be a rebound year where he was going to be okay, but he was not going to be the number one starter in the Marlies. And he's turned around and been like, nope, this is mine. Thanks very much. And for all intents and purposes, has taken the third goalie position away from Eric Shellgren. Although that's unproven, right? Eric Shellgren has played more NHL games this season. And I think just in career, he's played more. But I mean... Do you let him marinate down there a bit more? He's clearly not hurting.
So. I would say so. I mean, he's a break. Let me try that again. He's a break glass in case of emergency for sure.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if both of them falter, you can't really put them on waivers or something like that. So you're not going to dress three. You're not going to have three goalies up. Generally, teams don't do that. So I like what they're doing now with the goaltending. I think it's the strong. It's a strong suit. I think. Keep riding the Samsonov wave, and just in case, and just to point out, just in case, as the game was ending, just in case we weren't butchering his name enough, Chris Cuthbert called him Sergei Samsonov, noted Edmonton Oilers and Boston Bruins legend Sergei Samsonov. Poor guy, just get his name butchered.
That's okay. They're like. Gord Miller has called Bobby McCann at least four times.
It's a Freudian slip.
It's 100%. 100%. That's what it is.
That's a demon. That's Freudian slip from the Leafs demons. But
and speaking of Bobby McCann, he had
you read my mind. I was going to say that
he had a great game. The last shift that he had at the end of the second, he was in every single person's. He was a bee in every single Islander's bonnet, and was just like, "Okay, we're scoring now, so I'm gonna screw all of you." And he didn't score tonight, unfortunately. He hasn't scored since that goal that was called back.
Yeah, that might have cursed him. That, you know, like there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of hockey's one of those games where their curses seem real, but it seems like that one might have messed with his goal scoring, but. He does everything else. Like, he's the bottom sixer I noticed the most in this game. And that's pretty crazy considering he's a 26-year-old rookie that just kind of appeared out of nowhere. I had never heard of him before this season. And I love these stories because it's so uncommon to see, you know, a guy who is getting his first taste at 26. Normally, that's kind of geriatric in NHL rookie terms. But the Leafs have had a good record with these late bloomer pickups. You know, Zach Hyman, Michael Bunting, and maybe Bobby McMahon could be the next of these value pickups. But
Even Jack Campbell was originally supposed to be this like recovery project. And again, it has turned over in the Leafs' favor. Now that hasn't worked every single time. But, you know, actually Game Day Hockey in the chat brings up a good point. Players seem to love playing for Sammy. And it's true. They do seem to love it. And actually, Tic-Tac-Tomar brought up, a good friend of the show, Tic-Tac-Tomar, brought up a good fact that we need to come up with a Samsonov chant. And I came up with one, but I don't know how good it is.
I mean, Sammy.
Yeah, but like, Sammy. Or you could do that, but like, Sammy smile.
You know, I learned this from working in game ops. When you want to start chants, you got to keep it simple.
Yeah.
it's hard to make things a thing.
Yeah.
With Leaf, especially Leaf fans.
And you need something that's like almost one or two syllables, right? I mean, I guess Sammy, but
it's gotta be two syllables, or it has to have an ooh, which we don't have. I mean, those are the best chants when they're like, ooh, when somebody has like an ooh in their name, those are the best. That's just the easy one. Soup is a good one. Speaking of the home ice, you put up a good point. Samsonov is like invincible at the Scotiabank Arena. So is Austin Matthews. He has a 16 game point streak at home.
There you go.
There we go.
And Mitch Marner is up to what now? Like 21 or something?
Is that the case? Yeah. Wow.
It's a lot. They're both on heaters at home. And Matthews with he loves that celly. He does that celly a lot. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. What even is that? It's like an Elvis. I don't know.
It's fun.
It's good surfing.
I guess so. It's a good trademark of his, but it's kind of weird to think of the Scotiabank Arena as a actual fortress for the Leafs. I don't know. I always felt like, you know, we had a kind of a, you know, it was always like teams weren't afraid to come into Scotiabank Arena to play against the Leafs. But you look at their
home record with Samsonov.
They might start to be afraid, and you can tell that there's energy in the building. I haven't been to a Leaf game this season, but I can hear it through the TV. There's a lot more chants going on.
Yep.
And whoever's going there, keep that place a fortress, okay? Keep it bumping because we need it.
I was there last week, and it was like, I mean, they start slow behind the Panthers, right? But they come roaring back, and when they tie it, like, oh my gosh. It was, my ears did the woo sound because it got the reverberation in your own cranium, right? You get the full cranium reverb. And it's definitely like, I mean, I've only been to a couple Leafs games, so I can't really speak. But
yeah,
like the game that I went to, there seems to be a lot of energy. And maybe part of that is the fact that, you know, these games where the Leafs are going down by a couple to start, or they get the lead and then they lose it, or they are fall behind, tie the game, and then they fall behind again. We seem to be winning way more of those recently than we have in years past, right? A couple years ago, if they went down 3-0 or, you know, 3-2, 3-1 in the first period, it's one of those games where you close the laptop and you're just like, it's one of those games today, kids. And I don't really feel like wasting my night on that. Now, the way that they're playing, the way that they played, especially this season, you can't do that now because they have proven this season that they can come back. That they, even though they might be down in the third, they might come back and still win it because they've done it, you know, several times in the last month. And while I don't love as a Leaf fan that they're having to chase from behind, seeing them do the thing where they're like, well, we're just going to start playing now and suddenly score all these goals is great. And that's something that we've seen in other teams and we've been missing.
Yeah, they got to work on that. I mean, the whole start on time, the Mike Babcock-ism, it does come into play.
Start on time.
Yeah, but, you know, it reminded me of the Detroit game. I remember where it was, again, another terrible first period. This was the last game they played at home, Detroit. And I was saying to Armand, I'm like, the Leafs literally just went to Kelly's Landing and smashed a couple beers before they came to the game. Like, that's what they did. You know, it's like, it's like when you were in university, when you were in college, university, and you're like, I don't want, we'll go halfway through the class. And but you know, you got to work on, they have to work on that. I don't want to get into too much of a, I don't want to put the negative pants on today.
But it looks like it have, because they are winning those games now, right?
Yeah, of course. You want to put it together a full 60, and that was a really full 40 for sure.
But, full 40, yes. Like they have decided to play many times recently. They have played a full 40-minute hockey game, kids. Don't worry about the first 20. They don't really count. It's like, yeah, whose line is it anyway? Welcome to the game where points don't count.
The points don't matter because we're playing at Tampa Bay anyway. Yeah. Oh, my God. Pain. We laugh to keep him crying.
It's, oh, man. Yeah, exactly.
I'm so happy they won this game because, like, I was watching the stream on Saturday after that Montreal game. Ooh, they lost to the Laval Rockets.
I was so glad that I didn't have to do that game over.
Yeah, oh, I would have been full on like Stephen A. Smith. I would have been
shout out
stuff.
To our brothers Harnish and Armand for taking that one for us.
They broke the Leafs almost broke Harnish there.
We almost got Banana Suit 2.0, guys. Got the banana suit.
He sucked in the helium and he yelled in a helium voice. If you haven't seen it, please tune into it. It's extremely funny.
It is very funny. It was very funny.
No need for that today.
No need for that. Absolutely.
So, one little rule thing that kind of doesn't sit right with me, and we've seen it a couple times, is this penalty shot being hauled down. It's not a big deal. I mean, the NHL has a lot of other rules and things to change before they get to this one. But if they wanted to, you know, introduce something a little, just something little to like create some excitement, why not when a player gets hauled down, let the team choose a power play or the penalty shot? Because essentially what happens is,
because no one would ever choose the penalty shot.
I guess. But what happens is, like, now Michael Bunting, this doesn't apply to Michael Bunting because he is a pretty skilled player, but let's just say it was Justin Hall in a breakaway for some reason. The strategic move for the defense would be to haul him down. Like, the coach would yell, trip him. So you're kind of incentivizing a penalty in a sense. I don't know. I'm just saying. There's a lot of other suggestions the NHL could make, the playoff format being one. But
yeah, that's so low on my list. Like, I understand the – because – the penalty shot is, like, there's lots of other times you could take a penalty and it's just a penalty. The point of the penalty shot is that they had a clear lane to the net. And it's not every single person that gets that opportunity that is taken down in front of the net is Connor McDavid and can produce on a penalty shot, right?
Yeah.
No one would ever choose a penalty shot unless you're the Edmonton Oilers. Ever. Again. Ever. And...
Or if you're playing against the Oilers.
Right. Although Jack Campbell has had a resurgence, right?
Good for him.
Because like in situations like that, like if Bobby McMahon gets pulled down, I almost called him McCann.
You're not going
to
stop.
I have to say Vince McMahon in my brain. If Vince Bobby McMahon gets hauled down, it's a different situation than when Connor McDavid gets hauled down, right? And in 99 times out of 10, teams would choose the power play. So they're never going to do that because...
Is there more of these year? I mean, Jason Loomis says the penalty shot thing is only coming up this year because there seems to be a lot more penalty shots this year. Is that a thing? I'd like to get a stat.
We've
on
had
that.
Like two in the last like month. I think in the last 2 weeks we've had two.
I think it corresponds with the explosion in offense. I guess a lot of guys... Maybe. A lot of teams are getting more
desperate.
Space, which is good for the game. Yeah,
they're getting more desperate and hauling people down.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. But that might be a stat. I guess I feel like I've seen a lot more this year, so we'll call it that. We'll trust our gut on that one there, Jason. But yeah, for sure.
Also, so Lindsay with the advice and the thing for Lauren to get concert earplugs. You're not wrong, but it was short notice that I went to the game on Tuesday.
Get the big headphones.
Yeah,
put on the
I can just wear these. Yeah, or I can wear like my firing range headphones. That would work too. You actually mentioned a good point earlier, and I actually wrote this down. We didn't talk about this before the show. You talked about the Leafs' bottom six, right?
Right.
And let's talk about the third line, because in the first period, the third line was the best line of the night. Yep. And I want everybody that's here, if you're watching, you know that I want David Camp to stay. And I think Pierre Engvall is going to leave. And I think we need to trade Pierre Engvall for an asset. Because Pierre Engvall currently plays third line right wing on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you want to hear some of the other third line right wingers? And see if some of these incite more fear in you than Pierre Engvall. Okay?
Okay, let's hear it.
TJ Oshie from Washington. We have Jeff Carter from Pittsburgh. Gurianov in Dallas. Barkley Goodrow on the Rangers. Dylan Cousins on Florida. Blake Coleman on Calgary. JVR on Philly.
Woo!
Sissons on Nashville. Anthony Seau on Chicago. And Josh Bailey on the New York Islanders. And that's, what, a dozen?
Yeah.
Every single one of those players is better than Pierre Engvall.
Yeah, I mean...
He's going to leave anyway. Just saying. Yeah.
The depth in the league is pretty... It's pretty big, honestly. Like, the NHL has a really big glut of talent, which is a good thing, honestly. Yeah. Like, even with two expansion teams in 5 years, that's a lot of talent. Like, you bring up a pretty good point there. As far as being traded, I can see... I mean, I think it's pretty likely, in my opinion, that they're going to go and get a upgrade in the top six. So you're going to need – and whatever machinations they're going to have to use, they're going to have to use retention, they're going to have to use whatever cap shenanigans. But you'd have to think maybe Pierre Engvall goes out just to match salary in that. And, you know, he's an asset in a sense. You know,
he's $2.5 million on the cap. And Alex Kerfoot is also leaving at the end of the season, and he's $3.5 million. Now,
Guys, I think are salary fodder,
right?
Sure.
And you sort of interchange those as needed because they are UFAs and they're going to leave. So you might as well see if you can get something for them. And I was just literally in the second intermission, I was thinking about it, and I was like, who are some other teams' third line right wingers? And now I will admit that there are maybe some other places that we need to get players. That's fine. But if I look down the lineup, like, chat, does Pierre Engvall incite fear in you the way TJ Oshie does? Or, like, not even fear, but, like, Andreas Anthanasiou isn't exactly a fearful player to be afraid of, but he's somebody to keep your head up about. Barkley Goodrow, right? Blake Coleman.
Wait, Anthanasiou plays third line in Chicago?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Shout out to Anthanasiou. He went to high school just down the street.
Yeah.
He's a fellow Woodbridgian.
And
big ups.
Yeah. Well, and Warrior Womp in the chat, good friend of the show, Warrior Womp. Hi, friend.
Hello.
Engvall is very frustrating. And listen, I know he does so much on the PK, and he's been so good on the PK, and he is very dynamic and a two-way player. I will give him that. But is there nobody that we could trade that would do something similar? I think there are other players on the team that could get a shot on the PK and get somebody with a little bit of scoring depth. Not necessarily entirely away from the identity of the third line of being a shutdown line with Camp and Kerfoot, because I love that. But how many goals does Pierre Engvall have, chat, this year? Like six? Maybe?
Yeah, not a ton. I mean, he's not... Yeah, you're right there. He did have a really cool, really good stretch last season at the end of the season. But yeah, I totally agree. And I think what somebody said... I have to go back and see the person here. Anyway, I missed it, but I saw someone say this, that get an upgrade at the top six, you move down Cali Yarncrook to the third line. And now that is a third liner that would incite some fear for you.
Sure.
That's somebody you'd have to keep
He's
your head up for.
He's already produced more than Engvall has, like visibly, right? He creates more chances. And I think that that's a great idea. And I don't know who they're going to get for the second line left wing on that position. Right. But I'm just saying, I am excited. Like, all I've heard is that they're not going after one big player, is that it's just a whole bunch of different players that they're sort of going to shuffle around on the board. And I guess we'll see, right? We have five and a half weeks until end of trade deadline.
It's in March. I didn't even realize that's a long.
I thought it was in February, too. I did.
Yeah. Well, I get it mixed up with the NBA one because I get to mix up with that. But it seems a bit like late. I don't know. I feel like you'd want to get those upgrades
sooner rather than
earlier.
Later.
Yeah, I think
think the last couple of years have just screwed our timing up because of the pandemic. Like, we don't even really know. Like, I thought it was Tuesday today, everybody. Come on. My goodness.
I don't know. It's always 7. It's always 5 a.m. outside because there's no sun in Toronto.
Pierre Engvall has 9 goals and 8 assists for 17 points so far this year. I have his stats right up in front of me. Kerfoot, 7 goals but 14 assists.
I mean, it's all right. It's okay. As a TikTok sound goes, it's okay. All right.
I wouldn't mind somebody that could crack 10 goals. Like Callie Yarncroak, just saying.
Another underrated pickup right there.
Another underrated pickup. And I think he's a replacement for Alex Kerfoot.
Oh, no doubt about it.
That's what I think.
Yeah, honestly, I think the acquisitions, though, I'd like them to take a swing on a top six forward, like a bigger swing, only because you only get so many bites at the apple. Like you can't really guarantee that next season you're going to be in that position that you are right now. I know, obviously, we're stuck with Tampa in the first round. We're going to have to get used to it.
Barring some disaster
or whatever. But we're going to get that team most likely.
Yeah.
Now, and that's fine. The Leafs almost beat them. Like, they can hang with any team in the league. That's for certain. They can hang with anybody. We shouldn't be afraid. But I got to say, I think that this team has shown enough to where you kind of owe it to them and owe it to the fans to give this season a go. Like, I know everyone hates to give up picks and prospects, and, you know, you got to be smart with it. Like, don't pull a Florida and trade a 2024 first.
Don't trade the next 3 years worth of first and seconds. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Trade this year's first because you know where it's going to land.
You
right?
think so? You know, you think you're going to trade this year? I don't know.
Well,
I would do everything I could to not. I would rather trade a player than our first this year. But yeah, I think maybe like a prospect and a second and a third if necessary. But I think you scream and cry and throw up before you actually give up the first. Even if it means you fall in the order of the first in the first round. I think that that's a different thing. That's fine. But
the problem is because all these players are going to. Unless everybody just sells, like panic sells like crazy to get Connor Bedard and you can get players in the cheap, everybody's going to want that first.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, you don't, like I said, you don't want to dip into the next year's first because hockey is very weird and silly and teams can be shit out of nowhere. Look at the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers might give up Connor Bedard for Ben Sherratt. Probably not. But they might give up. They might give up somebody really good.
You know, when you say it like that, it's like, what?
They might have.
What a decision! What a decision!
It's in the investing world. It's called borrowing on margin, where you borrow money to invest in a stock, and then if the stock goes down, you're doubly screwed. It's kind of like that. They kind of borrowed on margin,
like the home improvement board game. Double your money back.
I've never played that, but that sounds fun.
Oh, see, that's. If anybody has ever seen that episode of Home Improvement, that old show from the 90s, they will know about the board game. Double your money back.
Yeah, Home Improvement reference here.
I know. Oh, God. Yeah, it's bad. So before we age ourselves out anymore. So, Fuad.
What's going on?
This week, on Friday, we have a big thing coming up on SDPN.
Yes, you do.
We're not going to spoil it entirely. But if you're lucky enough to be one of those SDPN fans that got tickets to the event at the mansion in Kingston, Ontario. There will be a plethora of not only SDPN people, but other people there as well. A nice smorgasbord of people from SDPN and maybe just some people from Game Over Toronto. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. You'll have to be there to find out. We will actually be streaming. Someone will be doing Game Over from the actual event, fingers crossed.
That's going to be fun. I'm really excited to see that. I will not be on that Game Over stream, but I'm excited to see how y'all pull that off. I think
we're going to watch the game together as a team.
You just got to do that. You guys just got to, you know what they have to do with the Game Over in the bar. You know those those YouTube videos and TikToks of people just going up to people and saying like, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" Like, you just do that. You just go to people and be like, "What did you think of the game?" And then just have them yell and swear.
Just walk
when they're 10.
Well, you don't know that it'll be me. You don't know that if it's gonna be me.
It could be you.
It could be me.
Could be.
It could be Harnish. Could be Armand. Could be Robert. Could be Steve. Maybe Steve's going to do a game over Toronto. Everybody.
You just never know.
You'll have to watch to find out.
It's going to be live.
It will be live.
And in person.
Live and in person. Yeah. And long overdue. And it will be after the Leafs take on the Senators this Friday. But before that, Fuad, are you back with me on Wednesday to cover the Rangers game?
I don't believe that I am.
Okay. Well, I will be back on Wednesday, everybody, for the game over Toronto after the Leafs dominate the New York Rangers. Jesse Blake's New York Rangers, of course.
Destroy them.
We're going to wreck
them. Another Ilya.
Yes, absolutely.
Another Ilya.
And a different Mika, because Mika is my wife, and also Mika's a Banajad. So there we go. We will be there. I will be here Wednesday after the game. Thank you, everybody, for watching and tuning in to Game Over Toronto. Before we sign off, my name is Lauren Williamson. You can find me on Twitter at LaurenInTheSix.
My name is Fuad Suleiman. You can find me on Twitter at Fuad_sports. Thank you very much for joining, everyone. You could have been anywhere else in the world.
And you are right here with us.
We appreciate that.
Have a good
H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo.
And before we start singing anymore, we're going to sign off before we get
back. That's the anthem. Get your damn hands up.
Have a good night, everybody.
Game over! Powered by Sports Interaction. Canada Sportsbook.